We are thankful again to see each one this afternoon. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, we're going to turn to the book of Romans chapter 13 to begin with. Romans chapter 13. And before we begin to read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Father, you know the need better than we do. And Father, you could help us deliver a message better than we could ever devise any way in our mind to preach it. Father, you know what's needed, and we pray that you would guide our tongue, everything that's said and done, that it could accomplish your will. And Father, we pray that we as your people would have receptive hearts to your word, that we would be tender-hearted. And Father, allow your word to take root in our life and our heart. And Father, we pray that your word would have free course and just touch us and move us to help us to walk closer to you and to help the lost see their need to be saved before it's everlasting too late. And Father, we know there's others that listen to these messages, not just here, but Father, at other times and even the radio work. And Father, we pray that we could hear souls being saved. There's so many that are lost. There's so many that are deceived. We pray that you would open their hearts, help them to see the need to turn and trust in your Son before it be everlasting too late. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In Romans chapter 13, go and pick up in verse 10. For those of you who know this passage of Scripture, you know that he's dealing with how love is a fulfilling of the law, as we'll read here in verse 10. And he's going through some of the Ten Commandments even and showing that we keep them to show love to our fellow man. And that's how we show love. Of course, the world teaches that a lot different. They teach that love just allows you to live any way and you just allow others to live any way. And that's not love. That's not biblical love. That's not what God would have us to do. Love would have us keep the Word of God. And if we love the Lord, we keep His commandments. And that's what the Bible teaches us. And in verse 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. And as we read these few verses of Scripture here, notice that the intent of everything he's trying to get to is us as God's people living differently in this present world. He doesn't want us living like the rest of the world, especially as he says, in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness. You know, the world lives by lust. That's what the world lives by. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's what guides the world. And he's saying, you don't need to be like that. You need to understand that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. There is the day of the Lord that's coming. He says the day is at hand. It's right before us. Now, he made that statement nearly 2,000 years ago. How much closer is it now? It's a lot nearer than it's ever been. And yet as we say that, we're living in a day and time where a lot of God's people have gotten less burdened with the work of God. It's more of accepting things of the world. It's less of a burden for the lost and more of trying to entice the things of the flesh. And he's saying we need to awake out of sleep. And I'll get back to that point in just a moment, showing some other scriptures to go along with that. But we need to awake out of sleep. If we're acting like the world and doing like the world and treating this life like the rest of the world treats life, then we're doing things wrong. Because Christians, we're looking at things as the Lord is at hand. The day is far spent. The night is at hand. You know, we got a short amount of time to work for the Lord, and then He's going to return. As we mentioned this morning, you know, all around us, there's houses being built, there's new people moving in, and no doubt a lot of them don't know the Lord. I would guess the vast majority don't. Some of them have never heard the true plan of salvation. And they've heard perverted gospels, but they've not heard the truth. And you know, they've heard repeat a prayer, they've heard join the church, they've heard be baptized, they've heard get this spiritual gift, they've heard turn over a new leaf and live a different life, but they haven't heard repent and believe the gospel. They haven't heard see yourself as a sinner and trust in Christ. They haven't heard that. They haven't heard the truth. They've heard something else. And yet we have a short time to win them unto the Lord. We have a short time to reach them. And some of those, no doubt, are even of our family and our loved ones. And listen, I know we can't force anybody to trust Christ. We know that. And I don't want us to go around thinking, well, if we can just push them enough, they'll finally join the church, or they'll finally come to church, or they'll finally trust in Christ. That's not how it works. We can't make anybody trust the Lord, but we are to live in a fashion where they can see Christ living in us. And they see that we have a burden for them. We have a burden for their soul, and we want to see them saved. And they see that desire and burden. And we need to be about that business while we have time and opportunity. That's why we need to walk honestly, as in the day, not in the rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering of oneness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And of course, verse 14, that's a powerful scripture. Don't make provision for the flesh. Don't give an opportunity to lead yourself into sin. I know y'all have probably seen the same thing that I've seen, but there's a lot of people that say that they trust Christ, and then they still want to live like the world. They still want to live in the lust of their flesh. They still want to go out and party and get drunk and do all the other things that they did before they were saved. And listen, that's not what God wants us to do. God doesn't want us to be led by ourselves. He wants us to be a new creature in Christ. And when we trust in Christ, God changes the outlook of how we live our life. Even our marriage is different because it's in Christ. Raising our children is different because it's in Christ. Our goals, our ambitions are different because they're not set on the things of this world, but they're set on the things of God. And so our whole vision changes. How we do things, how we go about things, how we try to accomplish goals and even the will of God in our life, things change. Even how we treat our enemies change. Where before we were saved, we look at our enemies and, you know, I can't stand these people. I can't stand to be around these people. And this is, I just wish something bad would happen to them. That's how you think when you're lost. But when we're saved, even our enemies were saying, God, would you open their eyes? God, would you help them see the truth? God, would you help me live before them that they could see your love within me? And they would see your desire to have them saved before it's too late. We deal with people differently. We seek peace with all men, and then especially those of the household of faith. That's why in the book of James, he talked about when there's envying and strife in the church, and there's all kinds of, you know, evil things going on. There's bickering and arguing and all this selfish thing going on in the church house amongst God's people. He said, then you're carnal. You're doing things from a carnal nature and not doing things from a godly nature. And we need to make sure we're walking in a godly nature. But we need to notice what he said here about how we need to awake out of sleep. I want you to turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. Notice that this is a common theme that we find in the Scripture. And I still believe where it talks about two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You know, that's given in Scripture a lot of times, that you'll have more than one place where something's talked about scripturally. It's talked about on multiple occasions. And even here, you turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn back in verse 14. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." What's the dead there that he's talking about? The lost is what's dead. You go back to chapter 2 of this same book. We were dead in trespasses and sins, is what it talks about. And he says we need to arise from the dead. The dead's the world. The dead is the sinful nature of man. We need to arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. We have a small amount of time in this life, don't we? I don't care if you live to be 100 plus years old. You got a small amount of time in this life. When we're young, we hear 100 years old, we say, man, that's a long time. And you hit 20 years old, you might still think 100's a long time. But I tell you what, you get married and for 20 years and you're like, man, that flew by. Your children hit 20 years old. It was just the other day I was holding them in my arms. And all of a sudden, you see that 100 years is nothing. 100 years is nothing. It's a vapor. It's here one day, it's gone the next. We have a short amount of time here. And sadly, we live in a world where people are trying to extend that time as long as they can. Nothing wrong with a good long life, God being in it. Nothing wrong with it. But the length of days down here is not our goal. That's not our goal. It's about what we do with the time that we're given. Listen, there's some people that have done more in a 20-year lifespan than some people do in 100 years. There's some people that do more in just a little amount of time than a lot of people do with a long, lengthy life. The impact we have, what we stand for, what we do. And Christians used to understand this above everybody else. And a lot of them died at a young age standing for the gospel and sharing the gospel with others. Some of them were only saved for a few weeks. Some for a few months. Some for a few years. They didn't live long, but they shared the gospel with their life. And we're the benefactors of all the sacrifice that they made. They didn't waste their life. Oh, they could have lived longer. Oh, they could have done this. They could have done that. We look at things from an earthly, selfish perspective. That is not what the Bible teaches us to do. The Bible teaches us to redeem the time that we have. Because we know that evil is abounding. We know that sin and iniquity is abounding. We know that judgment is coming shortly. So we arise from the dead and we live differently with whatever time that we have. We use it wisely, we use it well, and we share the gospel as we have opportunity because we know we might just have the one opportunity to share Christ with somebody. This world likes to think that we have just infinite number of opportunities for different things. And sometimes we do have many opportunities for different things. Sometimes even lost people have lots of opportunities to be saved. But sometimes somebody gets one chance and that's it. Sometimes we have one opportunity to share the gospel with somebody and we never get another chance with them. And we've got to take advantage of the opportunity that we have and arise from the dead and seeing that we walk circumspectly and not as fools but as wise, redeeming that time because the days are evil, taking advantage of whatever opportunity that God has given us. You turn over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I know that we've preached from this passage at least this past year once. I know that we have. But he talks about the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. And how this world is going to say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That was verse 3 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. He said, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The emphasis is take advantage of the time that you have. See what opportunity we have. We have more opportunity to share the gospel today than we've ever had before. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul could have done with a car? Go check out, if you're like me, in the back of your Bible, you've got some maps back there. That's what I've got, and it'll show a lot of Paul's journeys. Check out the distance he went. He went some far places, didn't he? Sharing the gospel. By foot and by boat. There might have been some camels involved, maybe some horses. But a horse, even if you got him sprinting, he's going to do about, 26, 27 miles per hour? For some of those fast horses, 28, maybe they can get up to 30, I don't know. But they can't do that speed for long. Imagine what he could have done with an interstate system and 70 miles per hour on the speed limit. And listen, a horse, you got to stop, it gets tired. You got to stop and get it some water and give it some rest. And I tell you what, you just put another tank of gas into a car. Then you got planes, the trains, the vehicles, phones, telecommunications that we have. My goodness gracious. We need to understand we got an opportunity set before us. In the book of Revelation, he tells church, he says, I have set before you an open door. Y'all know that door is still open, right? If it wasn't, we wouldn't be here. Right now, there is an open door set before us. But we need to be like Noah when he knew that one day Noah knew that God was going to take that ark and he was going to shut the door and nobody could be helped then. What did he do in that time that he was building the ark? The Bible says that he preached. He ministered. And no doubt willing that people would repent and believe and be saved. But the Bible says few, that is 8 souls, got on that ark. And I've preached it several times. God does not charge us with results. He does not charge us with results. He charges us to carry the gospel into the world. He charges us to carry the message to people. He charges us to live for Him in a circumspectly way, in a wise way, while we have time and opportunity to share the gospel, taking advantage of the opportunity that we have. Oh, we need to do that. We need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We live in a day of confusion, and sadly, do you know a lot of churches try to compromise the Word of God because they say, well, I don't know if people will accept that. I don't know if people go along with that. Well, that doesn't fit what they've been taught. That's right. The wisdom of the world does not fit the wisdom of God. But you know it never has. Go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The wisdom of God was never accepted by the world. It was never promoted by the world. It was always contradicted by the world, whether it be the Greeks seeking after wisdom or whether it was the Jews seeking after a sign. It's always been against the teachings of the world. What we need to be is bold with the gospel and unashamed of it. What we need to be is presenting it to a lost and dying world and calling them to repent and believe the gospel while there's time and opportunity. That they would turn to Christ before it be too late. Because we know what is coming. We know that there is a judgment to this world coming, where God is going to judge this world in righteousness. We know that then there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then there's going to be the great white throne judgment. For those who are not written in the book of life, who have not trusted in Christ, will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We know these things. We need to share it with people while there's time and opportunity. We need to be very zealous about the Lord's work. We need to have a burden for lost souls. We need to be praying for them and spending time in prayer. In the Word of God, a lot is mentioned about being continually in prayer. And even prayer and fasting. We need to have a burden to take advantage of the opportunities. And I know sometimes people will say, but I'm not a minister. Let me ask you this, over in Peter's writings, and we might preach on this sometime when the Lord's in it. Are we not as the church a holy priesthood? Was the Great Commission just given to preachers or was it given to the church? We have a work to do as God's people. We have a work to arise out of sleep and not be like the world. And when I say that, I know there's some that say, oh, you know, all they want us to do is all day long be about the Lord's business. Well, yes, to an extent. But there are things that we get to enjoy down here too. Part of my business as a Christian, listen, is taking time with my family. Part of my business as a Christian is fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a lot of things that we get to do and enjoy, and I could go over to the book of Ecclesiastes and show you that even for some of the labor we do down here, there's some enjoyment to be had off of that. There's some rewards for the labor that we do down here and some that we get to enjoy down here. I think some people have ran with those things to consume things upon their own lust a lot of times, and you got to be careful with that. You got to make sure that there's boundaries, and we need to have some sure boundaries of where we know that we're serving the Lord and putting Him first in our life, as the Scripture says, that we should put first the kingdom of heaven, then all these other things shall be added unto us. Yes, there needs to be some rightly dividing. But I don't teach people that they can't have something nice in life, and I don't teach people that there's not things that they can't enjoy even in this present time. But we need to remember, above everything else, we're here to share the gospel. Above everything else, we're here for the purpose of calling people to repentance in Christ, calling people to the message of reconciliation, saying, "Be ye reconciled to God." That is the work that we've been called to do. And sadly, a lot of times, there's not a call of reconciliation. There's not a call of repentance going out, even in churches. There's not a desire to live soberly and righteously in this present world. There's not a desire to put God as the number one priority in our life. And He has to be. He has to be for us to accomplish His will within us. He has to be the priority. He has to be everything. He has to be what's on our heart when we wake up in the morning and when we go to rest at night. He has to be what keeps that prayer continually on our heart, that we're thinking about our lost loved ones and our lost neighbors and maybe even our lost co-workers and people that we come in contact with from time to time. And we're praying and seeking God and saying, God, how can you use me to be a blessing to these people? And some people think that prayer should only be mentioned by preachers or missionaries, but it's to be by everybody. As we have preached before, you will meet people that I will not meet. You will come across people's path that I will not come across. You've got people in your family that might would never step foot in this church building, or might would not allow me to come over and visit with them and share the gospel with them if I knocked on their door. They might just shut the door in my face or ask me to head on. But for those of their family, for those that they work with, for those that they're around, for those that they're friends with, they might listen. And that's why it's the duty of all the church, all of God's people, to make sure as we go through this life that sharing the gospel with people is our priority. It's not just about our personal enjoyment. It's not about our personal will. It's not about just our personal goals that we want to accomplish. It's about letting go of what we want for what God wants. It's about daily taking up our cross and following Him because we understand that time is running short, that the day is far spent, the night is at hand. And so what we're doing is we're redeeming the time. And we're compelling others while there's time and opportunity and telling them, be ye reconciled to God. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And all of us have that opportunity. All of us have that responsibility. And all of us need to live in such a way that they see Christ within us. They see the burden we have for God. They see the burden we have for lost souls. And they see that we are redeeming the time and taking advantage of the time that we have. Because there is a judgment day coming when the Lord, as it says here, will come as a thief in the night. That's not going to take us by surprise for those of us that are saved and walking with the Lord. That's not going to take us by surprise. We're ready for that. We're looking for it. But we do know that there's going to be a pile of people in this world that are taken unprepared. It's our job to try to make them aware of what's coming and try to get them prepared before that day comes that they turn and trust in the Lord. We need to redeem the time. We need to awake out of sleep. We don't need to be like the world. We don't need to be chasing after the things of the world. We do need to work hard. We do need to provide for our families. We do need to do the things that God has taught us to do. And yes, there are things that we're even allowed to enjoy down here. There's a lot of enjoyable times that I've had with family and God's people in this life. A lot of enjoyable times. But I tell you, there's something more important than all that. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would be a shame that if I was more focused with having a good time with people down here on this earth than to warn them and tell them about Jesus and the judgment that is coming. We need to take advantage of the time that we have, and we need to have a greater zeal and a greater burden for the gospel to carry it into a lost and dying world. And let me ask this question. I know it might touch on some other points, but I want to ask this question before we close. When's the last time y'all heard about a church being established locally? When's the last time? There have been some, even since I've been preaching. I've been preaching 20 years. There's been a handful of new churches in that amount of time. But there's probably been as many or more close their door. You know, there was a time when you heard on a regular basis about a church being established somewhere. And that was God's people have a burden. We got a church here, but this next community over here, they don't have a church of like faith. We need to get a church there. We need to share the gospel there. Somebody would move off to a new community and they would find out there wasn't a church that believed like we believe the Bible talks about. And they'd say, we got to do something. The truth needs to be in this community and in this area. We need to have a greater zeal for the gospel and sharing it. And I've heard some make foolish statements. They'll say, well, there's another church of a different denomination or a different group of Baptists and all these others. Do you know what they believe? Do you know what they practice? Are they practicing the truth? I can tell you this, you'd be shocked at how many Baptist churches preach predestination. You'd be shocked by it, or how many call themselves Reformed Baptist. And you can just study what that Reformed means and get into it. That'll cause you all kinds of problems. There's a lot of Baptist churches that have turned to entertainment instead of trying to call people to repentance. They're tickling people's ears and they're not preaching the truth. We used to not wait on somebody else to get the gospel somewhere. We used to have a burden to carry it to the next community in the next area, and we'd teach that church. Now you carry it to the next community in the next area, and it was an ongoing thing. But the more that we've conformed to the image of the world, the more we've got comfortable. And we say, well, we're doing fine where we're at. Others can fend for themselves. That is not a good spirit of the gospel, and it's certainly not living like we're alive in Christ, and like we're awake out of sleep, and like we have a burden for lost souls. I'll tell you what, there's enough work just to do in America that we... Listen, if we had 1,000 missionaries surrender tomorrow, there would be more work than they could get to. If we had 100 new pastors, there's more churches just in the South Alabama, South Mississippi, Louisiana area. There is more churches standing in need of pastors than we can fill. Listen, I've gotten phone calls before from Southern Baptist churches, BMA churches, ABA churches, people without pastors left and right. That's why the Lord says we need to pray that the Lord would send more laborers into the field. And we do need to pray that. And we do need to have a burden. And listen, that didn't even get on the subject of foreign mission work, did it? Let me tell you, there are some places in this world that are hungry for the gospel of God. But nobody's willing to go and carry the gospel to them. And we need to preach our young people coming up behind us and say, listen, it's worth it to sacrifice everything. You know what's been taught to a lot of our young people? Career. Money. Get this job, have this life, do this. And there's not been enough teaching of you have a responsibility, whether you're a missionary, whether you're a pastor, whether God calls you to some place like that, or whether you're just a church member in that area. And we know the value of the individual church members in an area. The church is here to be a mission in this area, to carry the gospel in this local area. And I tell you what, the mission field around here is growing, isn't it? People building on top of people. Thousands of people without Christ. The fields are white and ready unto the harvest, but the laborers are few. We need to arise. We need to awake out of sleep. The day is far spent. The night is at hand. There's a lot of work to be done. And while we have time and opportunity, what we need to hope for is when the Lord returns, He finds us working in His fields. We need to be working for Him, laboring for Him, and having a zeal for lost souls. We need more and more of that. I want to encourage us today. Your life means something. And it's not the length of the days. It's not the health that you have in that amount of time. It's what you do with the time that you have. and laying up treasure in heaven. First of all, trusting Christ, laying up treasure in heaven. We do that by how we live for God in our life, our daily walk with Him. But also having that zeal to see souls turn and trust in Jesus. I'll quote what the Scripture says in the Psalms, "He that winneth souls is wise." And the way that we win souls is to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works, that they can see Christ within us and desire the same salvation that we have in Christ, that we carry that hope to a lost and dying world. Is that our number one goal, or do we have other priorities? We need to make sure that we're about the Lord's business. There is so much sin in this world. There is so much going wrong in this world. And people say, "Oh, the nation's in the wrong direction. We're going downhill." And sadly, people are looking to other human beings to fix it instead of pointing people to Christ. In fact, there's a lot of people that even go to church that'll spend more time trying to get people elected into office than they will trying to share the gospel with people. And I tell you what, you can get all the right people in office, but if we don't get people to Christ, they're going to be in a miserable shape. What they need is Christ. And if we give them to Christ, it'll solve a whole lot of these other problems we're dealing with too. Let's make sure we have the burden and zeal for the work that God has, and know the time that we have and what we see before us, that we are very zealous for the Lord's work. We are awake, we are working, we are diligent for His business to be accomplished. Oh, if we do this, wonderful things can be done. Great blessings can be seen. Let us be awake and let us serve God while there's time and opportunity. This is the burden God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, I invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.